I will do the some prayers, and of course, as we do, that they always said that recitation, refuge, and then for limitless meditation. Anje Judan Zojin Jonam La Janjo Bardo Dane Jason Jedagi Jinzo Jibe Zonam Jin Rolai Benje Sanjin Dubare Jo Sanje Judan Zojin Jonam La Janjo Bardo Dane Jason Dagi jinzo jibe sonam jen dolai benjere sanjen dubare jo sanje Chudan zo jen jonam la janjo bardo dane javzu Dagi jinzo jibe sonam jen dolai benjere sanje Dubar Josimje Damje Deva Dan Deve Jodan Dembara Juruje Dunga Dan Dunga Je Jodan Davara Juruje Dunga Mebe Deva Dan Davara Juruje Nyeran Chadan Dan Darve Danyam Lane Bar Juruje So with these, we will begin, continues that our study of a letter to a friend, which was written by the great master of India, Nagarjuna. And it's also that generally it is advice how to practice the Buddhist Dharma. And this teaching itself also have generally three segments. First one is advice to practice of virtues. that's general. Second one is that feeling disappointing in the or the sadness by seeing that the disadvantage of samsara. And develop the renunciation thought, that one, that second one. And the third one is that practice of that spiritual path by thinking the benefit and advantage of the liberation or nirvana. So these three are the three segments. Out of these three, that still we are in the first one, which has also that three different teachings. First one is that commonly advised to both lay vows holder as well as also monastic vows holder. And that we completed. And then second one is that... primarily for householders or the lay vow holders that advise. So we are still in that category. And I think that we, as far as my memory, that's 39, verse 39. Did we stop there last time? I think so. Occupied yourself with that essence of that knowledge during and first in the last period of the night. Contemplated mindfully until the even your period of the sleep. Not food. And so anyway, that one, so it is a saying. Up to this point, that Nagarjuna is pointing that the general how to engage or the how to involve in the Dharma study contemplations like that. Now it is also not only the study and the contemplation, but it's also the meditating. Because of that study is that important at the beginning. Without learning or the study, one do not have that knowledge how to do the contemplation. And then also that after learning, one make occur some of those doubt concerning the Dharma. So those doubt also that will dispel by the learning. And then contemplate that oneself develop the confidence to do the meditation. And both of these are that generally it is intellectual knowledge. It's good, but it's intellectual knowledge. Intellectual knowledge can be improved one's quality, but in order to suppress negative emotion, and also that to completely eradicate the negative emotion, without having meditation, the intellectual knowledge alone does not help that much. So because of that, it is also that required to do that meditation. So that now is a beginning. occupy yourself with the essence of knowledge during that whole day, so that the whole day, make that fruitful full day, and the first and last period of that night. So means that just right before the sleep, one have that, if it is mindfully, and especially the kindness, compassion, and bodhicitta, then that whole sleep itself, it is also the turn into the virtues. Those sleep is that the neutral action, but then having that some mindfully meditating the virtuous thought, that sleep itself change into the meditation of virtuous practice. So that's the one saying the first and last period of the night. So soon after waking up that morning, then also the with mindfully thinking that this is that the beginning of that another day. So I wanted to make that some resolution that they become to the fruitful and benefit for other being, benefit for oneself, and the right action, right thought, and so forth, making some resolution and aspiration, as well as also that some prayers and meditations. If we do that once, then it helps to success of that day. So because of that, then there are also that other things. If one has received some other initiation instructions, that some meditation that one can be done, both the first and last period of the night. So these are that I'm saying that contemplate mindfully until even your period of the sleep is not fruitless. Which is very important because that most people, they need to sleep at least 6 or 7 hours for every day. So then that is almost 1/3 of that the day. So which is that very important if one could turn into that something that fruitful as the meditation. So Nagarjuna is also the pointing for that one. Constantly meditate upon the loving kindness and compassion, joy and equanimity. Even though that the highest goal of may not be reached, but the happiness of the Brahma realm will be attained. So these are that the name of this meditation is known as that Four Limitless Meditation, and also that another name also called Four Brahma Vihar. The Four Brahma Vihar. So why it is called Four Brahma Vihar is practicing of these four, loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, then oneself will achieve state, equal state, or that the state of the Deva Brahma realms. And also, with these, if one could associate some other, such as that emptiness of view, and also the bodhicitta with this, then that is also the cause of achieve that great Brahmas, means the Buddhahood. So because of that, it is known as a four Brahma Vihar. And also, especially for Mahayana practitioners, the single most important Mahayana practice is that the bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is totally dependent upon the compassion. Without having the compassion, one could not develop that bodhicitta. And that also, the compassion has the base upon that loving kindness. So because of these, the loving kindness and compassion, that like a foundation of the Mahayana practice. So that's another reason is also that I'm saying that it's important to meditate that for limitless or the four Brahma Vihara meditation. And I assume that most of all of you that already know that four limitless meditation, and to make sure the what are the four limitless meditation is that limitless object is that for all sentient beings, and limitless meditation is that for these four different type of that meditation, loving kindness and compassion, and joy and equanimity. And so by doing these four limitless meditation, oneself also that gained limitless merit. So because of this, it is known as for limitless meditation. And there are the four different types, which are that loving kindness means wishing every sentient being, wishing to have happy, physically happy, not physically healthy, mentally happy, and the cause of happiness is the involved in the virtues. So that is known as that loving kindness. And compassion means that all sentient beings, including oneself, without any exception, every sentient being, wishing them to freedom from the suffering and any types of the suffering, physical, mental, and then also that the activities and so forth. Any type of the suffering, and the cause of suffering is non-virtuous. May they be free from that suffering and the cause of suffering. That is regarded as a compassion. And joy means may all sentient beings have that happiness, which is free from that suffering or the misery. So thinking that one is that known as joy. And the equanimity without having strong attachment and toward one's own side, the relative and family, and not having anger toward that the enemy or opponent side. So having that kindness and compassion upon all sentient beings. So that is known as equanimity. So these are the four different type of meditation that one could do. And then he said, even though the highest goal may not be reached, by doing that alone may not be reached like that Buddhahood, happiness of the Brahma realm will be attained. So Brahma realm, so the highest Deva realm, can be attained. So that. And then also that the four dhyana, thoroughly renouncing that sensory pleasure, joy, happiness, and suffering, is equal to the attent of the Brahma, clear light, pervading that the virtue, the great result. So these are the called four limitless and four dhyana. Dhyana, which are the same meditation of the celestial beings, like form realms, devas, that they do this meditation, and as a result that they can achieve that the four dhyana state of that deva realms, which is that free of joy, happiness, and suffering, sensory pleasure, joy, happiness, and suffering. So by doing that, basically, it become to that some more fine quality and then less and less conceptual thought. and so it is completely free from that pleasure, joy, happiness, and suffering. So these are the four dhyana. With these four limitless meditations, that these are that recommended. And then great virtue and non-virtue arise from the five constant clinging, lack of remedy, base of kindness, base of good qualities. Thus strive to perform the virtues. And on these five different base, whatever we perform, that virtues and non-virtues, that will be that a very powerful virtues and non-virtues. So these are that need to know. With knowing, then one has to avoid the non-virtues, and then also the perform the virtues, because the non-virtues will bring the misery, and virtues will bring that consequence, is that the happiness and the desirable positive things. And so these are the five different things. Constantly clinging, either virtues and non-virtues, that's the one. And second one is the lack of remedy. And the third one is base of kindness. And fourth one is base of good qualities. Which means basically action, motivation, and antidote, and then also the base itself, the different. For the action, any kind of that the action that virtues and non-virtues doing one time, which has that quite a strong effect, both virtues and non-virtues. But constantly doing some, that has more result. And then the second one is the motivation. And motivation is that either the defilement or that the clarity or that the faith, that the strongly faith in the compassion, which virtues and non-virtues, that has that from the motivation side. Then the antidote, which is that actually whatever that action that we did, then if we have a strong antidote, that the action also the eliminate, for example, non-virtues, having that strong regret, and then apply the antidote can be remove any of non-virtues. Same way that the virtues, the performance of virtues, having strong regret, and that also that eliminate the result of virtues. So therefore, the antidote one. And then for base is that kindness base are that the Dharma speakers who those they give some instructions, what is the virtues, what is non-virtues, what's the right things to be adopt, and what wrong things to be avoid. So that's the one. And then the, also the parent, the Dharma teacher and parent, those are the base to benefiting. And then also the special benefiting of base is that for those animals, such as that lack of food and shelters, also they want benefit for them. That has the tremendous virtues. And then also that quality basis means that positive quality, which is the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and also for those who are that maintain for meditation for a long time, soon after that they are arising from that meditation, then it's also that has a tremendous benefit for you offer something. Like that Buddha, after remained the 6 years retreat, when he came out from that retreat, the daughter of farmer offered that they concentrate that milk, which has that excellent accumulation of merit to that. So similar type of that thing. So because of having these great results, then it is important to adopt the virtues and avoid non-virtues. That's start to perform the virtues, that thing. And then next one is a small measure of salt can change the taste of litter water, but not that of the Ganges. Understand that the similarity of the small evil acts in comparison to the large root of virtues. So the person is that constantly engaging into the virtues throughout days and weeks and months and years. Then sometimes, of course, the sentient beings, they also that may engage some non-virtues. But those that is having some small non-virtues, one should not feel strong kind of that irritated, so that irritation disturbed one's mind. So because so that giving that as an example, small measure of the salt can change the taste of the litter, but not that of Ganges River. So similarly, that for those who are constantly engaged in the virtues, one must not worry too much about that the litter non-virtues. One is also that the opposite is also very similar. Then, scattering, regret, malice, dullness, sleep, attachment, and doubt. Beware these five obscurations as the thief who steals the wealth of virtues. Scattering, that means basically one's mind constantly wandering upon that some object, especially that on the object which is that something attracted, and then one could not bring back that mind and focus on that object. So that's the scattering. And regret means that if one has something, did some non-virtues, or that something wrong, then that one has that constantly having in the mind. That also that disturbed one's mind, that not able to focus. And then malice, it means that basically harmful thought that one hated towards some either person or that some phenomena, then one have very strong hateful thought toward them. That is the another third one. And then dullness means kind of the sinking mind. One's mind is feeling discouraged. Both body and mind does not wish it to engage in the virtues. So it's basically like leading toward that the sleep or that some dullness. That one. And then also the sleep itself. And then attachment, sensory attachment. So these are that basically kind of that obscuration which is still or that the, which disturb one's own the virtuous thought. So because of that it's saying that thieves who steal that the wealth of virtue. Out of this that scattering and regret are that the kind of that similar, and so because of that they count in one. And also the dullness and the sleep are similar quality. So that these are also they count in one. So in this way they have the five different phenomena which are the considered as that five obscurations which steal the wealth. Then also the next one is the endlessly performed the five excellent dharma, faith, vigor, mindfulness, samadhi, wisdom. exerted oneself in these, which are also the strength and power and the summit. These are also five power and five strength and five power, which you called. And summit. When we are practicing with very diligently, having that faith toward that Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and also our mindfulness, and then meditation, the samadhi, and then also that the wisdom, which is that understanding lack of inherent nature, then those continuously practicing that one, so then it's apply into that path of application, apply to the noble beings, the qualities. So when in that path of application, these are known as the strength. Then they continuously to practicing that ones, and when they reach very high level, which is also the called power, the five powers of the Buddhas. The Buddha's powers are also the none other than these are. So because of that, it is then known as that five power and five strength. And also, when they reach to that the highest point of that path of application, there is no higher dharma that one can be practiced in the worldly state. So because of that, it is also known as that summit. With knowing this, then one should aware and also that the involved of this faith, diligence, mindfulness, and the concentration, and also the wisdom. Then repeatedly contemplate that as one is unable to escape sickness, aging, death, likewise, one's karma is one's own action. Conceit will not be arise through this antidote. So it is saying that, sickness, aging, and death are that inevitable for everyone. And similarly, that the karma, the consequence of karma, whether it's good karma, the consequence of virtues and happiness, and non-virtues and suffering, these are also the inevitable. Just as that anyone who took the birth, they had to go through that the process of death. Similarly, anyone who committed the karma, they have to experience the karmic consequence. So with thinking of this, then one will not arise that arrogant or conceit because of these are the antidote. So the conceit is that one was strong hindrance for the Dharma practice. So for that purpose and reason, it is important to think about the law of karma, cause and effect, that as the inevitable process. Then, if higher realms and liberation are the sincerely desired, thoroughly meditate the right view. Even good deeds done by the one who with the wrong view all have unbearable results. So here, of course, that any of that practitioner, their goal is that to wish to achieve the higher rebirth and liberation. So that's the one saying that if higher realm and liberation are the sincerely desired, truly they meditate that right view. So the right view is that the main cause of that to achieve this higher birth and liberation. When we say that the right view, there are that the two different type of that right view in the two different states. One is in the relative level. The other one is the ultimate level. In the relative level, the right view is the believing that the law of karma, cause and effect. By belief that performing the non-virtues will experience this as misery, and perform that the virtues will bring that happiness result. Strongly believe that past, present, and future, and the law of karma, cause and effect, that is the right view in the relative level. And then second one, a second right view is that the ultimate level. In the ultimate, in the state of ultimate, there is no phenomena which has inherent nature, existing of inherent nature whatsoever. So everything is that it's produced or arise with the combination of cause and the condition. So that anything that which arise that the cause and condition, that the basic nature of that cause and condition arising process, that is none other than the emptiness view. So these are the two, the believing the law of karma in the relative level, and also the believing the lack of inherent nature in the, in the ultimate. Those two are considered as the right view. And so first, having strong belief about the cause and its result, which cause to take higher rebirth. And also then strongly believe lack of inherent nature in the realization of emptiness, that will cause it to get liberation. So these two are that two main cause of higher rebirth and liberation. So because of that, Nagarjuna's advice that to be acquaintance of these two types of the right view, because for those who have wrong view, even they have the action is that something that positive, but then with having wrong view, which all result what we'll experience is that undesirable. undesirable means that if they couldn't get higher rebirth, and those will fall into lower rebirth, that is unbearable result. And then also if they could not understand a lack of inherent nature, then one could not gain that liberation. And that liberation, if we could not get the liberation, then still wander in the samsara. So experience the samsaric view. That's one. So with this, then explain about that meditating and acquaintance of the right view is that key of that higher rebirth and liberation. So I think that I will stop here today, and then if you have any questions, be happy to go further more detail, which we learned today. And then any other questions?
Thank you, Kimbo Kelsang. If you have questions, please dial *6 and you'll be heard.
Thank
Hello,
you,
Kimbo
Kelsang.
Hello.
Hi. Does someone else have a question? They can go first.
No, I was just saying thank you.
I have a question. Actually, it's I'm reading also Kangyo Rinpoche's commentary.
Uh huh.
And I'm going back to verse 44.
Okay.
And he speaks uses the word wildness for scattering and regret for remorse, which I understand. And then he says, these come under the same sphere as movements, so their antidote is sustained calm. That I understand. They are nourished by four things: thinking about one's relatives, thinking about one's country, thinking that one will not die, and remembering the gains, laughs, and good times one enjoyed in the past. Since wildness and remorse are both nourished by the same thing, they are counted as a single hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess thinking, remembering gains, laughs, and good times one enjoyed in the past is not a positive. Is that my understanding? Are these things that are these things that they really are forms of obscuration?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Yes.
I'm not sure exactly, but what the descriptions. But the sounds of that one is it's fall in the category of attachment. Thinking
yes.
One's on,
mm-hmm.
Like one's on the countries, and then also the enjoyment and so forth. That is that attachment of this life and so forth. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than
thinking that one
regret.
Will not die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in these commentaries, it's explained that the scattering and the regret, those two are the similar, the mental quality. So because of that, it's a count in one.
Yes.
And the dullness and the sleep.
Yeah.
Dullness and sleep are also the similar similar quality as a counting in another one. So.
I think if one thinks about the future too, isn't and clinging to that also can, when I say the future, like going on a trip,
mm-hmm.
And all the anticipation, when in fact, once it happens, it's all that's gone anyway. So it's not equanimity, but that calmness, that
mm-hmm.
balance, not to overly attach to it, but realize it'll happen, and you can enjoy it for the moment. If you're seeing a loved one and haven't seen for a while, you can enjoy it for
mm-hmm.
that moment, knowing it's for the moment. So I can see that balance. Yeah, he has some very good advice. I certainly can understand, you know, thinking about I will grow old, I will get sick, and I will die. That's very powerful, and that helps. It's a very good way to put things in perspective, especially
mm-hmm.
in day-to-day life. Yeah, for sure, I can attest to that. So that was very good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ruby Shade?
Mm-hmm.
This is Sandra from Oregon. I have a question about the 47th.
Okay.
Sloka.
Mm-hmm.
You used in the relative level,
mm-hmm.
believing the law of a cause and effect, and you said something about past, present, and future, and I didn't quite understand what the reference to past, present,
future. That they believe that, you know, in order to believe that the law of karma, you also have to believe that the life, past life, present life, and future life, you know?
I see. I was taking it more literally. Thank you.
Okay.
And then I have one small question about a word in the number 45. Can you
uh-huh.
tell me what is the Tibetan word used there for summit?
Summit.
Is it
Temo?
Is it
Temo?
Say?
Temo. Temo.
How do you spell it?
In Tibetan?
In Tibetan.
Ratsatatsa ndingbitse manaro mo tsemo. But in English, I think it is T-S-E-M-O, tsemo.
Oh, tsemo. So it's not say. It's not the
same.
Word.
Se and tsemo is basically sameness.
The same?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's the same root word as in Tsawe Lama?
That is Tsawa, and Tsawa is the root. And Tsemo is that top.
Okay. Tsemo.
But
okay,
Tsawa, Tsawa does not have any, vowel. Tsemo has the vowel E. E, but
that's
otherwise
the
it's
e?
The same root. Yes, that's
okay.
Not,
it has like the gigu. Has gigu?
No. Dringbe.
Drengbu.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
okay. So is it ra tsatatsa drengbu tse?
That's right.
Okay, that's it. Okay, so it is tse. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's many, many meanings for each word.
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Rinpoche, I had a question. My name's Mary Elizabeth. Forgive me, I'm just so new, I don't know this, but in 41, you talk about the four dhyanas, and then
mm-hmm.
the thoroughly renouncing the sensory pleasures, which I understand, but then renouncing joy and happiness. So those joy and happiness, is that different from what we're talking about in 40 when we're meditating on joy and loving kindness? I'm a little confused as to
Well, here is saying that when they do the meditation, for this is more kind of that like that the calmness, not exactly like the emptiness meditation, but when they do that the calmness, then the first one is it comes that some calmness of sensory pleasure, then joy, and comes the kind of the transcendent from that joy, happiness, and suffering. So it's become to that more like equanimity, that, you know.
Non-clinging that.
Not having that some strong feeling of a pleasure, pain and pleasure. That is that basically saying that for Dhyana.
Okay. So that the four Dhyanas are that you have the clinging to the joy or the emotional.
That's right.
Rush
that's
of
right.
Joy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other than equanimity. Okay. And then I had one more question. When it talked about the great virtues and the non-virtues arise from five,
uh-huh.
Each of those, like clinging could be a virtue and a non-virtue, or am I getting confused? Is like constancy a virtue and clinging a non-virtue? Lack of remedy
constancy,
a non-virtue?
Constancy and clinging. That constancy is that the action, people who are that something like a virtuous constancy is like that for those who are that the generosity, they wanted to give that day after day, week after week, month after month, the year after year, constancy of the action.
Okay.
And then also the non-virtue side, for those the slaughter, the day after day, that they also that slaughtering of some animals and like that constant, you see. Then clinging is that the mentally clinging. Clinging on that the virtues, clinging to the sentient beings. And clinging, also the clinging sentient being, which is has that two different. One is that on attachment, only that sentient being. The other one is that wishing to them freedom from suffering, so compassion, constantly clinging. That's also the clinging, but it's also the positive things like that, you know. If you look at that carefully, this has that both positive and negative aspects. That's
yes. Oh, I do see. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Rinpoche, this is Sandra from Oregon. This is the first time I have heard your teachings, and I really want to thank you. This is very, very clear and very deep, so thank you so much.
Oh, you're most welcome. I'm very happy to hear. So you are from the Oregon?
Yeah, from Eugene. Mainly Nyingmapa teachings is my background, but I have some experience with Jetsun Kusho's teachings. In the white car. When I came across your teaching, I thought, oh, well, I should experience this. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're most welcome. Well, this is not belong to either Sajja, Gaju, Nyingma, or Geluk. It came from India.
That's what I was hoping.
And so it is that everyone's a common teaching. I'm very happy that you also that came and also that some heard some benefiting for. It's very clear. It's a wonderful teaching, definitely. It is.
Yes, thank you so much. This is very. It makes perfectly good sense with everything that I know from the different traditions. So I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm very happy. So with this, I think we will conclude tonight teaching with the dedication prayer, and look forward to hear from next week.
Sonam diye damje zikpa nye tamne nipe danam pamje ne jega nanje balam chupa ye siben solen dova dova isho gewan diye jewok Sonam yeshe tozo de sonam yeshe lechon ve tamba gunye toba isho njambara pavye chetaran jemba tangkunda Zangbo teyan teyin de te da kunje jisa da lo je gewan de da tam je rabdung.
Thank you for everyone.